point or another, you've received what you see behind me on the screen. Whether it be a card of congratulation for something that's happened in your life, whether it be a card where maybe it's for your birthday and you always were looking to see if maybe there was a little bit of green in the cover whenever you opened it up. Or maybe it was a condolence card of someone offering their condolences for maybe a loss in your family or something you were struggling with at that time. But we understand the power of a letter. We understand the power of a message from one person to another, whether that be for encouragement, warning, whatever. We understand that power. And all throughout the Scriptures, especially as we get into the New Testament, we see letter after letter, whether that be from Paul, from Peter, from John, letters to the early church trying to help them navigate this first century faith. Trying to navigate the world that was very difficult around them, that was causing them struggles day in and day out, not only in their spiritual life, but also in their physical life. Persecution, loss of home, loss of loved ones, starvation or sickness. All these different things that they were facing, and they had these letters. Messages from men who were inspired by God to try to tell them something to help them through that difficult time or to warn them to get back on the proper path. This morning we're going to be focusing on one of those letters. I'm thankful for Jonathan for starting us off, but from 2 John. That's 2 John, and as the old joke, you can find out what chapter we're talking about. But 2 John, here John is writing, it says, to the elect lady. What we understand about this person is it is simply a Christian who is very close to John. So this is more than just a letter to a church. This is a letter to a personal friend. A letter of encouragement, but also of warning. Let's start off again. Notice verse 1, it says, the elder, talking about John, to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also those who have known the truth. Because of the truth which abides in us, will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. An encouraging start to this letter. John is talking to this individual whom he obviously has a very close connection with. But notice who he started off. He says, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but all those who have known the truth. Is it easier or harder to love someone who has the same goals as you? Who has the same passions as you? You might have that one individual who they have a very niche hobby, but to them is the most important thing, and they're going on and on and on, and you don't understand a word of it, so you just sit there going, awesome, that's great. I have no idea what you just said for the past 20 minutes, but awesome for you. But when we have the same values, when we have the same passions, that conversation is very different. It's not just one-sided where one person is talking about what they're passionate about and the other is just smiling and listening. No, that's passion going back and forth, and you can almost see them hyping each other up as it goes along. One person might be, yeah, I was noticing this point over here. Did you see this section here? It just becomes a super excited relationship. And that's what we're noticing out of John here. He says, I love you in the truth, but also all those who know the truth. Imagine if that was a statement made about you, made about me, that anyone who loves the Word of God, anyone who has a desire for the Word of God, loves you. How might that happen? Obviously, this family, this group of individuals, holds the Word of God in very high esteem, holds it as very valuable. So this morning, we're going to be breaking down this letter into two different parts. We're going to be noticing the first major section and the second major section. As you've noticed here, we just got through the introduction of this letter, but the body holds just simply two points. So how is it that, or what is this letter that we're writing? What is this letter that we're seeing from John that he's telling us even today as Christians? Dear Christian, he tells us to walk in Christ's commandments. I don't know if that's actually moving behind me. because I can't see the screen back here. So we're just going to hope that this is what's right. So we are to walk in Christ's commandments. Walk in Christ's commandments. John starts this section off by continuing encouragement. He tells this woman, this family that he's talking to, he says, you continue to walk in the Word of God. Let's start in verse 4. He says, I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth as we received the commandment from the Father. And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. That is the commandment that, as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Walk in Christ's commandments. See, we have fellowship with God when we walk in his word. The first letter that John, or the first of the three Johns, 1 John, we notice this exact point in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship not only with God, but one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. I can have that fellowship with Christ, that fellowship with his people, if I'm staying on the path. Now, why might that be important? Why does that matter? Why can't I just still have fellowship with God, even if I'm not walking on the exact same path? You know, this is 2024, God. Surely you can have friends that don't have the same faith as you. God said there was one path that took us closer to him. Anything else separates. And even we can see this in our own relationships, our own families. Those who do not hold the faith, those who do not hold the same commitment to God as we do, those relationships begin to tatter. They begin to fray. They begin to peel off. They begin to eventually disappear completely. In America right now, last statistic I looked up was about 75% of marriages in America ends in divorce. It's about where we are now. Now, you take out a lot of different factors and those statistics can change, but that's just the broad range. That's about how many marriages end in divorce. There were a couple caveats to that, though. If you add in couples that pray together, couples that have the same faith, and couples who are committed to the same family goals, it drops to 12%. Do you think it's important? Walking in the commandments of God is what gets us closer to him, not because he's some tight-fisted God who, if you don't do what I tell you to do, I hate you. No, that's not what we're talking about here. See, God cannot have a relationship with someone who refuses to be godly. How do I know that? How can you say that, Josh? Because of 1 John chapter 1. Again, we go back to that passage, and what does it say? God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He even goes on to say, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk not in the truth, we deceive ourselves. There cannot be a relationship there because there is no common goal. There is no common structure. There is no glue holding that together. Walking in Christ's commandments is how we can have that fellowship with him, and our love for God is also shown in obedience. Now, this one's interesting because there are so many people who look at this and they say, there you go again. Your God only wants you to be little obedient sheep. The reality is, yeah, kind of. But not because of the reason you're saying. Not because of the reason of God is just over here wanting to rule over every little detail of your life. No, that's not the factor. God wants you to be obedient to his commandments because that is the only way you can be with him. That is the only way he can have a relationship with you. Because if God is light, as we just mentioned, when I sin, when I do the things that are contrary to the nature of God, there cannot be connection. So obedience is how I show my love for God, because I say, God, when I obey your commandments, when I do what you've asked me to do, I'm simply following the path that gets closer. I don't want to separate myself. I don't want to go down an opposite direction. I want to keep growing closer. Jesus mentioned this point, if you love me, keep my commandments. John chapter 15, verse 20, or verse 10. But also in 2 John, verse 6, he said, this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is not even something that is new to us either. What will we call someone who loves their country? We would call them a patriot, right? Committed to the cause. They're very faithful to their country. They're thankful for their country. Are most genuine patriots going to be breakers of the law? Criminals? Are they going to destroy the fabric of that nation? No. But why do we have people today who are claiming to be Christians? They say, I love my Lord, but I will destroy the foundation of His church. I love God, but, you know, I'm going to do the things of the world whenever I want to. I love God, but my speech will not mimic Him. I love God, but my actions will not follow Him. John is warning this individual. He's telling them, walk in Christ's commandments because that is how you show love. He's not saying this because he's trying to convince this family to do so, because we already understand that they were. He's just encouraging them to keep going, to keep pushing forward. He says, this is how you can grow closer to God, and by doing so, we can grow closer together. See, God's word is what will judge us in the end. John chapter 12, verse 48, we see that the words that I have spoken, that Jesus has said, the words that I have spoken, the same shall judge you in the last days. We can connect that with Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. The words that I have spoken, you are to teach to others. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. So the words of the apostles were speaking, they're simply what Jesus spoke, and the words of Jesus are what will judge us. That's how we can understand that even the words that John is saying right now, they don't come from him. They're not coming from him as an individual. The first commandment that we know of, the commandment that Jesus spoke of, the first command is what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That term love and compassion and all of those things that we see in the New Testament has, yes, been corrupted a lot in our society, but it still is something that is worth preaching. It still is something that is worth teaching, because even those that are claiming to be as faithful to God as they can be, they are going to jot every single letter of the law, still struggle with this point. And there are those who claim to be loving, who claim to say, I'm the most welcoming individual, but they're welcoming everything, including the devil. Love. Loving God is important, because if I love God, I'm willing to do what He says. If I'm willing to love God and do what He says, I'm willing to live faithfully for Him. If I'm willing to live faithfully for Him, I'm willing to love my neighbor. By loving my neighbor, I'm willing to teach him what I know about my God. Do you see how it all works together? It's all one function. You cannot have one without the other. I cannot have love without law. I can't have law without love. They go hand in hand. And that is what John is telling this individual. He's saying, you walk in Christ's commandments by loving one another. Because if I have true love for my neighbor, if I have true love even for myself, what am I willing to do? What is best for myself and for others, right? I'm willing to help others to see the light of the Word of God so that I can have a hope of heaven. Not a wishful thinking, but hope, genuine hope, earnest expectation of what is to come. So walk in Christ's commandments. That was the first point of this letter, but the second was to beware of deceivers. Beware of deceivers. Let's start in verse 7. Here John writes, "For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds." Now that's a pretty scathing critique there and a pretty stern warning. So let's break it down and look at what he was saying. He says, "For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh." Now that term antichrist we've probably heard before. From our religious friends, that's been used quite a lot in reference to some coming antichrist or some coming being. John said there were already antichrists in the world. Those who were standing opposed to Christ, that's really all that term means. It doesn't mean some individual or some title. It is individuals who set themselves at odds against God. And those who are willing to drag others away from Him as well. Now remember, in this day and age, even in the first century, there were many people who were already messing up the Word of God, who were already perverting the Word of God, saying that you had to be a Jew as well as a Christian. You have to be circumcised to be a Christian. You have to obey the law to be a Christian. No, abusing what God had already said. God said there's a new law, a new high priest. Warn of deceivers. Unfortunately, there are Christians that deceive their own brethren. See, the enemy is not just without. There's a warning of being within as well. In Acts chapter 20, verses 29 through 31, Paul is meeting with the elders of the church in Ephesus. And what's the last warning that he gives these men? Feed the flock. Be wary. Why? There are grievous wolves coming in among you. Among you. Not those outside coming to bang the doors down. Those within your own body. For centuries, there have been kingdoms that have withstood every external attack that ever could be faced. They faced sieges, they faced attacks, they faced battles on the fields of war, but they stood only to be destroyed by their own people. Only to fall because their own people corrupted what they stood for. Or their own people sold them out. In the Revolutionary War, there was a very promising general under our command who had led us to victory on several occasions. Was a very well-known man in our day and age named Benedict Arnold. And Benedict Arnold, he was a hero by the American standards, but he wasn't getting all the credit that he wanted. He was given command of one of the forts that was protecting our advances from the British. And he gave battle plans. He gave blueprints of this fortress over to the enemy. Fortunately for the colonist at the time, the spy that was sent to talk to him, John Andre, was caught. And the information was shown, and Benedict Arnold had to flee. That term in America literally means a betrayer, a subverter, someone who is trying to hinder the works that are good. And friends, there are many within the church. There are many who claim the name of Christian who subvert the work of God. Rather than honoring the Lord, they honor themselves. Rather than trying to help grow closer to God, they want to grow closer to the world. There are some who want parts of Christ, but not all of Him. Not all of what He's asked us to do. Notice what was said. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Don't be caught up in this. Don't allow yourself to be drawn away by these people who are deceiving you. They're telling you a lie. They're saying this is a way to be more spiritual, when in reality it's making us as far from God as possible. Friends, I am sick and tired of hearing religious bodies, those who claim to want to follow Christ, saying we're a spiritual church, when this book is never opened. Friends, this is the only way we can even know about God. But there are many who want to claim they can come to Christ in their own way. You have your way, I have mine, and we'll just meet up in the end. That's not what Christ taught. Because notice what he says in verse 9. John, again, writing to this faithful Christian, what does he say? Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Does not literally have that relationship with God. Does not have God in his presence. I'm reminded of what the prophet Isaiah wrote when he talked to the people of Israel. He says, "The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that he cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hid his face that he will not hear." It's not that God does not have the ability to be there. He just cannot be in the presence of sin. And notice what he says next, though. But he who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Literally, you are as close to God as you could possibly be. And notice this next point, though. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Friends, we are not to support false teaching. And here's one that's a little bit controversial, but no, false Christianity is not better than no Christianity. It is not better. Sin is sin is sin. And those who do not have the doctrine of Christ do not have God. Notice what he said with that, though, greeting them. Remember, in this day and age, hospitality was very important to their culture. And if a guest speaker was coming into your town, a teacher, it was very customary to help them. Give them food, give them shelter, give them anything they need to do their job. Really, the implication here is he's saying, as Christians, you do not give them a pulpit. As Christians, you do not help them in their work. You do not support them. Why? That seems harsh. God, I mean, they're doing good work. Surely I can... He says, they're not doing good works in my name. They're bringing glory only to themselves. He says, and you are not to have any part of that. If we do not abide in Christ, we cannot have fellowship with Him. If we do not have Christ with us in our words, there's a disconnect there. This is a letter written between personal friends. Who was literally the apostle whom Jesus loved is writing this. The one who was closest to Christ while he was on this earth wrote this book. Who better to write about the words of Christ than the ones who knew him best? Who better to know our God and what he had to teach? And this is what he chose to write, through inspiration of the Word of God. Through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this apostle wrote this down for a simple family as a word of encouragement, but also a warning. And even within this dark section of the second part of this, there's hope even written within it. Because he doesn't just beat them over the head and say everything that this is doing is wrong, you cannot be a part of this. He also says what? if you do right, you have Christ. You have a relationship with Him. But let's finish this off. Let's look at verses 12 and 13. Having many things to write to you, I do not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of your elect sister greet you. Amen. You can hear the tenderness of John here. The excitement that he has to be with his brethren again. He says, I have many things to say, but I'm not just going to write it down. I want to talk to you face to face. 2 John is a very short book, but it is packed with information. It is packed with all the things that we can see as to how to live a simple, faithful Christian life. We have fellowship with fellow Christians. We have a faithfulness to God that is discussed, faithfulness to His commandments, and a love for souls. We have a warning against deceivers, a warning against those who want to drag us off the path, those who want to tell us they're faithful to God or tell us that they're trying to help us become more spiritual, but actually are leading us down a very dark path. Which part of this letter would be focused to you? Is it the first part of encouraging you to keep going on the path that you're on? To stay faithful, to say, you are doing great, keep it up? Or do we fall into the second category? Do we fall into those who have been deceived, who have been led astray, and who need that warning to get back on the proper path? Only you can answer that question. I can't answer it for you. I can only answer that for myself. But if we are in that category that does not have Christ, if we are in a position where I am set at odds to the very maker of this universe, why stay there? It's not worth it. You can make that right this morning. You can have that relationship with Christ again and be walking with Him. Maybe this morning you're not a member of the Lord's church. You've never named the name of Christ. You've never become a member of the Lord's church and had that relationship with Him. His plan is made simple for you because He wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, as Paul wrote to Timothy. We must hear the word. Romans 10:17. Upon believing that to be true, that motivates me to action. I'm willing to repent of all of my past sins, according to Acts 17:30. That changed mind, which brings a change of life, I'm deciding I'm following a new path. I'm going to walk closer to God. And based upon that repentance, I'd be willing to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, to make that oath of allegiance to Him, according to Romans chapter 10, verse 10. And based upon that confession, we would be happy, thrilled to baptize you into Christ this very morning, having that fellowship with you, not just as a fellow human being, but as a brother or sister in Christ. But maybe this morning you are a member of the Lord's church. And maybe at one time you could have been described this way, that those who love the truth are very close to you. But maybe you allowed the world to take more control. Maybe you allowed yourself to be deceived by those who do not name the name of Christ. God wants you back. Your brethren want you back. There's no reason to leave here unsure of where you're going to end up. If you have any need this morning, anything that is separating you from the Lord God this morning, don't hesitate. Don't wait for a more convenient season. Come now as together we stand and as we sing.